Welcome to Reboot with Dr. Arasi Maran, where we explore cutting-edge approaches to health, wellness, and living your best life. I'm your host, Dr. Arasi Maran, and I'm an interventional cardiologist, but my goal is to try and improve healthcare awareness, and this podcast is a means for me to do that. Today, I am thrilled to welcome a true powerhouse in the world of integrative medicine. Dr. Amy Duffy is a renowned physician, best-selling author of Normal Does Not Have Side Effects and Why Can't She See Me? And currently serves as the president of the North Carolina Integrative Medical Society. As the founder of Carolina Integrative Medicine and the Clemson Ivy Bar in Aesthetics, Dr. Duffy has dedicated her career to helping women achieve optimal health through personalized, holistic approaches that addresses the root cause rather than just the symptoms. Her expertise has landed her on the stages at the Harvard Club of Boston, CNN Center, NASDAQ, and Carnegie Hall, sharing platforms with influential figures like Martha Stewart and Dr. Oz. While she is not transforming women's health or appearing on major networks like ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, she is hosting luxury wellness retreats in Acapulco, mentoring other practitioners, playing tennis, and being a mom to four children. With that, Dr. Duffy, thank you so much for taking time to join us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me and hosting this platform. This is fantastic.
Well, you know, I guess women like you are setting the bar for me to aim for and achieve for. It's pretty amazing what you've done, and truly kudos to that. And one day, I truly want to join your wellness retreat. Yes, yes. Okay, so let's start with your book. Okay, your title is fantastic and I just love it. Normal doesn't have side effects. It's absolutely intriguing and we all aim to be, you know, normal, but can you explain what do you mean by that?
And I think some people kind of especially in our world of functional integrative medicine, you know, we're always saying this isn't normal, or normal doesn't really, you know, like when you're talking about labs, for instance, you know, within normal range, maybe not always be optimal. But in this case, what I would tell patients all the time is I was having a conversation with them about whether it was bioidentical hormones or particularly talking about adrenal or thyroid or that kind of stuff is that, you know, what I'm recommending are things that are supposed to get you back to normal. And when those things are doing their job correctly, then we don't have to have the conversation about the long list of side effects that you might experience, you know, in going through this process and taking either the bioidentical medications I'm prescribing or the supplements I'm prescribing. I don't expect to hear, you know, about all the side effects. So if something doesn't feel right, you know, certainly reach out and let us know. But generally speaking, when we get you to normal, normal doesn't have side effects. So that's really where that comes from. And so it sort of helped guide me through putting that book together in terms of what our goals are. And that's really, you know, for me, what a lot of patients say is like, I just want to feel like me again. I just want to feel normal again. Like, you know, I don't feel myself, that sort of thing. So we don't want to do that by band-aiding it with all these medications that, you know, have a lot of side effects and really don't ever get them to that place.
You know, that's absolutely true. Like even when I put a stent, I tell them I'm not curing you of any heart disease. I'm just putting a small band-aid and the disease process is still there and it's progressive unless you make A, B, and C changes. But my biggest question or the biggest challenge, you know, is why people are accepting health issues or the discomfort they have as normal. And they seem to find comfort in that not so comfortable space.
That's a tricky one. I think part of it, especially living in the South, and even though Charleston is the South, you know, culturally it might be a little bit different. But up here in the upper part of the state, we're cultured a little bit in Clemson, I would say, but in the smaller towns, you know, that idea that this is expected, you know, from a family perspective, you know, there's a lot of family members that are on medications that have diabetes, and you hear that kind of like, well, you know, all my family members have diabetes. So certainly I'm expecting that I'm going to get it, you know, and they haven't experienced the idea that this is not just something that's going to happen to you and you have no control over it. You know, they haven't experienced the opportunity to be able to, you know, actively do something different and see results. So, you know, whether that comes from genetics, and this is where it's kind of like, is it genes or is it lifestyle, right? But, you know, the culture around family gatherings and the food that we eat and, you know, that kind of stuff, in this day and age, you know, it's getting better, I would say, but, you know, up here, there's a lot of three, you know, it's meat and three, and what's your bread and what's your, you know, what's your carbs and all that kind of stuff. So I think that, it's not so much that they're reluctant to change. It's just what the norm is, you know? And if I see my doctor and they tell me I have high blood pressure and they put me on a medication, like they really haven't given choices to do something different. And I think, unfortunately, you know, all doctors, I believe, went to medical school to help people and they want to see, you know, improvement and change. But unfortunately, the system has stuck a lot of doctors in the place where, you know, they don't have the opportunity and the time to really give the patients the information needed to make those changes. So it's like, hey, you know, we could lose some weight and you could exercise a little bit more, but I don't know that that's really going to happen. So we lose trust in the process and say, well, I need to make sure that the patient's safe. So I'm going to put them on a medication, you know, because I don't know that those interventions are going to come to fruition. And without the structure and the information, it generally doesn't come to fruition. So, you know, we're just kind of snowballing that effect of not really giving the right information to make the changes.
You know what, that's why I just had a whole day of clinic here, and I cannot tell you, I was running so behind, like I was telling my patients, I talk a lot and I'm here, I have to tell you everything I want to tell you. And that was part of the reason for even starting this platform, because I felt like I could not efficiently tell what all I wanted to tell my patient in one time in the 15 minute slot or the 20 minute slot, which almost becomes like a 40 minute slot, and it's still not enough, you know.
And in that model, you know, it's like in order to just pay the bills and make ends meet, right? Like you have to put that many patients in your day, but, you know, ultimately you'd like to go back and say, hey, I'm spending, you know, at least 30 minutes, if not 45 minutes with my patients, you know, can we adjust that time frame? But, you know, we don't get reimbursed enough in the system to be able to afford to do that. That's certainly frustrating.
So, you know, I am curious. You have been in the trenches of both conventional medicine and integrative medicine. I mean, you are a board certified family practice physician. So what was the pivotal moment that shifted your approach to healthcare and made you realize the limitation of standard medical practice like what we talked about?
Well, it goes all the way back to actually when I was a kid. I mean, I just loved babies. I wanted to hold all the babies all the time. And I started babysitting, really as a mother's helper when I was 11. And that relationship with that family continued, you know, through middle school and high school. And when I was a senior in high school, they were having another baby and invited me to the delivery room. And that was really my first experience in any kind of official, you know, medical setting to some degree. And I always thought I wanted to be a pediatrician because I just like the kids so much. And then when I saw this baby being delivered, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I want to deliver babies. And so that's actually what I was going for. And then interestingly, I got pregnant in the beginning of my third year of medical school, and I was married, and you think I would know what I was doing, but really we were too busy to worry about it. So anyway, got pregnant and was like, what do I do? And so I had to adjust my schedule, and I was in the hospital on rotation, you know, over and over and over again. And then I got to family practice rotation, which was a combination of outpatient and a little bit of inpatient. And it was like a breath of fresh air. It was so different in the clinical setting versus, you know, hospital. And you've experienced this in the hospital too. Like, things might be on a schedule, but it doesn't really work. Like, there's no lunch. There's no, you know, when's the next patient? It's just you have a line of patients waiting for you, and it just keeps going on and on and on. So, so I really felt like the lifestyle of a family practitioner fit more with what I was looking for, and they can deliver babies too, depending on where you live. And so in rural areas, which is where I came to South Carolina, rural South Carolina, to establish family medicine and deliver babies. And that's what I did. So the residency program that I joined and was trained at was very heavy in obstetrics. We have a migrant worker health department type setup that the residency program basically was responsible for. So we delivered all the babies from that clinic, and not everybody was interested in it. So once they got their 10 deliveries that were required for the family practice, you know, requirements, nobody wanted to do them anymore. And I took them all. So I got privileges in delivering C-sections, tubal ligations, all that kind of stuff. And so about a year or so after I graduated, I stayed on as an attending physician, and the OBGYN office next door reached out to me and said, hey, we're looking for another partner. What do you think about coming in and doing primary care? And if you don't know, a lot of women that go to their GYN, you know, that's their whole thing. Like, they don't have a family doctor. They just go to GYN for all of their you know, primary care needs as well as their annuals. And so it really was a nice blend of me helping with their OB call and doing all the primary care. And then they took on the GYN surgeries and complicated stuff. And it was a very nice relationship. But what I found is that, you know, I was only trained for about 2 weeks as a rotation in GYN, and I knew very little about actual women's health, you know, in terms of replacement and some of those other things. And so I found myself not loving just, you know, go to the closet and see what sample is in there for, you know, hormones or birth control or whatever the case is. And I was really struggling, because that was, you know, around the time of the Women's Health Initiative that came out, and hormones are bad. And so it was kind of like, where do we stand with this? What am I supposed to do? You know, and I had a hard time having that conversation with patients, because it's like, you know, do we take the risk with hormone replacement, or do we find the band-aids? And unfortunately, at that point, it was like, well, you know, if you can't be on hormones, we'll give you an antidepressant. There was really no other choices. And I didn't like that. So, you know, I started kind of digging in a little bit, and happened on about a conference in 2008 that was natural hormone balancing, looking at kind of bioidentical hormones. Never had heard about anything like that before, looking at adrenal function and thyroid and all this sort of stuff. So I went to this conference, and it was like Alice in Wonderland, going through that tiny little door into this world of what we now call functional or integrative medicine, which includes bioidentical hormone replacement. And so I started doing that. I brought it back and I started testing, you know, certain patients and experimenting a little bit and calling the lab and saying, hey, what do I do with this? And sort of self-taught, you know, how to do this. And so I was in that practice for about 4.5 years, and they started having conversations with the hospital system about being bought out by the hospital system and going that direction. And I just felt like that was not where I wanted to be. I wanted to continue to pursue this kind of integrative functional stuff. So in 2011, I opened my own practice, Carolina Integrative Medicine. Still somewhat tried to stay within the system from an insurance perspective. I was like, you know, I'm family practice. I just want to do this differently. But same thing we talked about. My biggest struggle was that I was spending, you know, 45 minutes to an hour with patients. And so you can only see so many patients a day. And, really felt like I needed to up the bar. And at that point, some of the functional testing I was doing, I do saliva testing for hormones and a deeper dive into gut health and things like that. And a lot of that stuff wasn't covered by insurance as well. So realized that, you know, really in order to make a difference for these people, we had to step out of that typical model, you know, that's holding us into the system of not letting us do what we need to do. So my practice has changed over the last 15 years from where it started to where it is now. And what I also realized is that even in integrative or functional medicine, you can still kind of put the blinders on, say, okay, we're just going to focus on hormones, or we're just going to focus on, you know, a supplement that can help support whatever, you know, whatever ails you, and realizing that there's so many layers to what's going on in our body in terms of addressing the gut health, the toxins, the nutrition, the hormone imbalances that we see, movement, fitness, you know, whatever you want to call it, and then the stress management and mindset part of that. And so when we really started putting that together and sort of doing this whole wellness program type approach, the results that we see and just life-changing experiences for people has been just transformational. for our patients, but for us, right? So, you know, we try to live the dream and walk the walk. So when I can be outside, you know, I'm going to be outside, and we don't have sunshine right now. It's kind of cloudy, but, you know, I want to do as much as I can, you know, in that world to support my own mindset, because if we're not taking care of ourselves, then we're not going to be taking care of those we love and the patients that we serve. And me as a leader and a business owner, I don't want to have staff that are all stressed out and sick all the time and, you know, can't perform their job. So we really have to practice what we preach to some degree.
You know, at Carolina Integrative Medicine, you focus on treating the root cause of chronic health. You know, you talked about some of it. Can you walk us through your approach to a new patient who comes to you and says, I don't feel good, with a very generalized, I don't feel good? Where would you take that?
So this is where we're kind of diving in, you know, and I look at the pillars of health, and it seems like we started with five pillars and now keep adding more pillars because we find other things that are important. But this is exactly what I'm talking about, is I have this analogy of like a watering can. If you're coming out and watering your flowers, whatnot, and like, as you fill that can up with water, that type of watering can, the spouts at the bottom, right? So sometimes you'll find that it starts to overflow even before the can is full. And in this analogy, the water coming out the spout is a symptom. So whether that's fatigue, I can't sleep, I'm achy or inflamed, my gut's unhappy, mood issues, I'm irritable, I'm depressed, whatever, I can't focus. We see a lot of that. My brain fog, I can't think the way I used to. Weight gain is a big one as well. So, you know, we start to dig into that, and what we have found is that, well, let me go back to that analogy. So the water coming out the spout is a symptom, and outside of what we do in the root cause medicine, whether it's traditional medicine or even what I was saying, you know, you can get blinders on and say, we're going to address the symptom, and you're focused on the water coming out the spout. So are we going to plug the holes up? Are we going to catch the water in a bowl and every 24 hours we have to empty it? You know, whatever the medication or treatment is, as opposed to saying, hey, if we come over here and we start working on the layers of water inside the bucket, let's reduce that. Let's buy you some reserve in there. So for people who are super allergic to things, you know, it may not be one thing that's causing it. That's why it's so frustrating for people to try to figure out, what am I eating that's causing me a symptom? Because probably it's more than one thing, and it builds up over time, and then it spills over and here comes your symptom. So our approach is to dig a little bit deeper, and particularly looking at gut health is a big part of that. So again, I used to do just hormones only because I was GYN and, you know, women's health, and that's what I was focused on. And what I found over time is the people who came in with the gut stuff, and we were addressing that too, their adrenals got better, their hormones were better balanced, they had less, you know, night sweats and symptoms and issues like that. And so now you don't get to get on hormones with me unless we are addressing some gut health. And from a safety perspective, hormones are metabolized through your liver. And so we want to make sure that your liver is working hard, and our livers are our filters, right? And so we think about, you know, like the lint catcher in your dryer. If you're doing load after load after load of laundry and you never clean the filter out, your dryer is not going to be efficient. And hopefully you figure it out before your dryer dies or catches on fire. But usually what we're seeing is we hear the buzzer, we open the door, the heat's coming out, but the clothes are still wet, and we got to run the cycle again. And then once you figure it out, you clean the filter out, everything's working. So our filters, our liver, our lymphatics, our kidneys, all that kind of stuff are on overload because of all the toxins that we're exposed to. And whether it's in our food and it's voluntary, you know, medications, that sort of thing, or things we can't control, just the air we breathe, the water we drink. Our body's job is to protect us, and the liver's constantly trying to get rid of those toxins, and it can get sort of overwhelmed and slow down a little bit. And so if we're putting what we think are good things into the system, but they can't get out appropriately, that can cause some dysfunction over time and, you know, concern for risk. So, and that can be a cause of some of these symptoms, right? So if we're looking at brain fog, for instance, it's like, why can't I focus? Why can't I think anymore? And it's just, you know, your body's up to this level of like, I've been trying to protect you all this whole time from all these things coming at us. And it's just on overload. We hear about leaky gut. We can have leaky brain too, where you know, there's things going on that are keeping us from being able to focus. So we really dive deep into gut health, looking at what's there, what may be stressing our system out, whether it's foods, whether it's in imbalances in the bacteria, in the microbiome. We hear a lot of verbiage about that. So we address that from a nutrition standpoint. We try to dive deep and test. So we do, you know, comprehensive stool analysis. We do food sensitivity testing. So we're helping the patients to understand. We're not just saying, don't eat this or, you know, don't eat that. We're really coming from an individual perspective that says, hey, this is what's stressing out your system right now. And let's avoid it for a while so that we can help your body heal and recover. And then, you know, we can come back and introduce some things back in. And your body will tell you once it's clean and sort of clear what it can handle and what it can't. So we dive into gut stuff first.
So I'm very curious, how long is an average appointment in your clinic?
So for a brand new patient coming in, we have two different consultations. We have a 90-minute and a 120-minute consultation, depending on how many labs they did. So we kind of do a discovery call with my team first. It's a 30-minute appointment where we sort of get a feel for where you are and then guide you as to which direction we want to go, you know, whether it's three labs or five labs. So our consultations are really long. It's a lot of understanding, education. We really dive deep into what's going on and then coming up with that plan. You know, we need to go through these steps, right? The order in which we do things is really important. It's kind of a GPS. If here's where you are now and we talk about where you want to be, there's steps that we need to go, and we don't want to skip steps or, you know, do them in the wrong order because we may not see the results that we're looking for. So our new patient appointments are 90 minutes or 2 hours, and then our follow-ups are generally 45 to an hour, depending on what that is. And I have health coaches in our practice. I have three different health coaches. So our health coach visits are usually 30 minutes as well. So they're getting a lot of time. Our patients are with our team, whether it's with a provider or with a coach.
So, but how frequently are you having contact, you or your team member is having contact with the patient?
So after that initial consultation, they go into a wellness program, and we have programs that are 6, 9, and 12 months. And so, you know, depending on the needs, you know, again, where are you and where do you want to be kind of thing, and what we have to do. And so, or how long you've been there, you know, in terms of how long it's going to take us to get there. And so from a provider standpoint, whether you see me or one of my nurse practitioners as a provider, is usually every 6 to 8 weeks during your program. We're doing a follow-up there. But initially we start with weekly appointments with the coaches. And then that can spread out a little bit over time, depending on the need of the patient, what's going on. So we have a weekly touch point that helps us stay on track, right? I want to make sure that we're seeing progress in the right direction. So we're not going to have somebody that says, oh, I stopped doing that because it didn't work for me. You know, I want to make sure that we're moving in the right direction and tweaking things if we're not seeing the results we expect.
So, you know, let me ask you this. I mean, this is definitely you for to offer something like what you're doing right now, you had to break through the conventional model. So it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure it is very satisfying as well, because the patient feels taken care of, not just one part of their body, but the whole holistic approach. It's pretty impressive. So there are so many, you know, as a cardiologist, I feel I definitely have access to a lot of sophisticated treatment and testing strategies. But clearly, the way you are doing it, or the diagnostic tools you are using, are very different. So you talked about stool testing. That's one thing. And you talked about salivary testing for hormones. What other testings or tools, diagnostic tools, do you use?
So we do food sensitivity testing. I think I mentioned that.
So how do you do that? Is that a stool test?
It's a blood test.
Ah, okay.
So what it's looking at in the particular lab we use is from Precision Point Diagnostics. Dr. Cheryl Burdett is the founder and medical director of that lab. And she has, I mean, she's like an encyclopedia of studies and knowledge and whatnot. I love hearing her speak and learning from her. But she, you know, really dives into what we're trying to achieve in these tests. And so there's a lot of allergy tests out there that may only test for IgE or, you know, various things. And this particular test really drives looking at both an allergy to something and a inflammatory response to something. And so, you know, you may have both at the same time. And when we're trying to approach, again, what's causing stress on your system, we need to look at that full picture. So we do that. I use that particular lab for food sensitivity testing. We look at intestinal barrier assessments. So the whole leaky gut idea, somebody who's super inflamed, who has autoimmune either symptoms or comes to us with a diagnosis. I've got, you know, Hashimoto's thyroiditis or psoriasis or rheumatoid arthritis, something like that. If a known diagnosis or anything that sounds like an autoimmune thing, then actually giving them some insight into the leaky gut process. So zonulin is something that we can test for, and LPS in your bloodstream, that sort of thing that gives us.
What is LPS?
LPS stands for lipopolysaccharide, and it is the protein that sticks to bacteria. And that is what can leak through, if you want to call it, if somebody has leaky gut. So leaky gut is very microscopic, like big bacteria can't get through. Otherwise we'd be septic and, you know, that's not the case, right? But LPS can sneak through and then our body reacts to it like an immune response. And so that triggers the immune system and we can get really detailed into the different types. You can have TH1 and TH2. And so that affects whether we're going through an autoimmune kind of inflammatory thing or more of an allergic type mast cell, you know, activation syndrome type thing. And so when we get really detailed into some of these patients who've been suffering for a long time, it can help guide us a little bit into what's going on. And then our treatment approach is really, you know, to me, people come and say, do you treat cancer? Do you treat Lyme disease? Do you treat this, that? And I look at it from a place of our body's job is to heal us and protect us. And so ultimately what we want to do is get your body back to the place where it can do that. You know, there's a lot of people out there who got bitten by ticks and don't have Lyme disease, right? Why does that person's immune system keep it at bay? And so, you know, my approach is really looking more at how can we get your immune system to the place where it's strong enough to support that. So that's really where we're digging in a little bit. So intestinal barrier assessment, and then I mentioned saliva tests that looks at four-point cortisol, so we can really see that adrenal function throughout the day, and that can play a big role in your symptoms and how you feel, as well as your body's immune response. If our cortisol is low, we're going to have less immunity, less fight for infections and things like that. And then I use a comprehensive functional panel that dives in a little bit into, from a cardiovascular perspective, we're looking at sticky factors, we're looking at inflammatory markers, we dive deep into diabetes, so we're looking at insulin resistance, we're looking at beta cell function and sensitivity, so we can get a feel for, you know, how severe is this and not just what's your A1C or what your blood sugar is. We look at vitamin D, homocysteine levels, B12, CoQ10 levels, omega fatty acids. We know how important omegas are, so we can actually measure them objectively and say, you need more, or, you know, this is good, that kind of thing. And then I do a thyroid panel where we're looking at TSH, free T3, free T4, and TPO antibodies. So if somebody does have Hashimoto's, we're able to look at that and measure that as well. So we really take a deep dive into in what you would consider, you know, basic blood tests, but much, much bigger, broader look at what's going on with that person.
This sounds extremely comprehensive, and I no wonder you need this much time to go through all the, you know, adrenal fatigue is something which has just come across over and over and over again. And I mean, life is stressful. Like, whose life is not stressful? Life is stress. And is it managing stress or is it reducing stress? And stress is going to affect. So how do you treat stress?
So there's a couple ways in this, you know, I actually just presented at a conference on adrenals and how do we measure adrenal function and then what do we do about it, right? Into different levels and that sort of stuff. So you can see I use all these analogies. So we're running the marathon of life, we're sprinting uphill all the time, right? And, you know, we really weren't designed to do that. I mean, when you go back to caveman days, it was wake up in the morning, you know, walk around, you might have some stress with famine, or you might, you know, get chased by a tiger every once in a while or something, and hopefully you survive and you outrun it, but you go back to normal again. So we don't have this like constant stimulation. It may not even be stressful, but we're often stimulated, and it's just getting worse and worse with our phones and our, I don't wear an iWatch because I don't want to ding, you know, that dinging all the time is stimulating, right? So it may not be negative stress necessarily, but this bombardment that says, oh, I have to pay attention. Oh, I got to do this again. And so that can wear out our adrenals as well. So when I approach adrenal dysfunction, our approach, when you use that analogy, is like, can we slow down a little bit? You know, can we be mindful of some of that stuff? But how do we lower the slope? And again, when we go back to the gut health, if we're eating stuff and our body goes, ah, you know, I don't know what to do with this, or it's causing a stress on our system, whether it's an allergy or an inflammatory response, that's a stressor. And if we can control that and reduce some internal stressors, then it sort of gives us some reserve for the external stress that we see. So interestingly, I had a patient that just came in last week for a follow-up at 6 months into her program, and she quit her job. And it was a positive thing for her. She's like, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do, but I know how bad my job was from a stress perspective. And it was a neat conversation because, you know, sometimes when you're in such a stressful place, like just making that kind of decision or the thought process of what would I do instead is really scary. And so, you know, people don't want to make those moves, even though they know they're not in a good place. So we were able to, you know, help her, you know, manage to the point where she was able to open her eyes and kind of realize that this was causing so much stress on her system. And she's able to figure it out. So I know it's kind of a backwards thing, but you know, stuff like that happens all the time. And, so I think that if we can help people understand some things that they can control, because again, sometimes we're in our life situation, whether it's a job, whether it's, I've got four kids, like I'm not going to send them back. So we got to deal with it. And that can be very stressful, and relationships and finances and all that kind of stuff. There's things that we feel like we can't control. So if we put things in place that we can control, taking a supplement, removing something from our diet or adding something in that we hadn't been eating, and then we do baby steps. You know, can we take 10 minutes of moving? Like right before we got on, I've been on my computer all day, and I'm like, oh, I got 15 minutes. I'm going to go stick my feet in the ground. So, you know, because I've been sitting here on my deck with shoes and whatever. So, you know, even 10 minutes of just doing some grounding, some stretching, some breathing. Our team, just to say, we walk the walk. So we have a alarm clock, if you want to call it, that goes off in our chat system. So every day at 10, 12, 2, and 4, somebody's doing something, you know, and if you're able, now we might be in the middle of seeing a patient or doing something, so it's not always perfect, but you know, we want to try to take a break from our screens and from the chaos of life. And you know, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes of let's just stand up and wiggle a little bit, you know. So we're helping patients to take some of those baby steps that can help address that stress. So we're working on, you know, the slope of the hill that we might be sprinting up. Can we slow down and not sprint? But then again, you know, there may be some Gatorade that we need to do. So, you know, there's adrenal supplements that we can use to sort of help the adrenals do their job. And there's different degrees of supplements depending on what level of severity the adrenal dysfunction is. And then there are supplements like L-theanine is one of my favorites, which I say that's just like telling our body we're not being chased by a lion right now. So we can sit here and sort of perseverate. Happens a lot right at nighttime. We call people tired and wired when they have adrenal dysfunction. They're exhausted all day. Then you try to go to bed at night and your brain's like, ah. Mine happens early in the morning. I'm so tired I fall asleep, but I'm waking up early and immediately I'm like, what are all the things I need to do, right? And so I'm trying to work on, you know, some breathing techniques and things, say, hey, we don't need to bolt up and, you know, start the thought process right away. So L-theanine is a really nice supplement that, you know, I mean, almost anybody can take. I mean, I don't know of any contraindication to that particular supplement. And I think it just kind of takes the edge off. It just kind of says, hey, you know, we don't have to be so reactive. And so, you know, something's chasing me all the time. It just sort of turns that notch down a little bit.
So, you know, I have to ask this question. I am not a big supplement proponent personally, only because I think, you know, I've seen some people who have more supplements than the actual food they are taking and stuff like that. I personally believe, you know, eat a good diet, vegetables, lots of protein, healthy fats, whatever carbs you need, etc. But you know, so how do you decide what supplement? The supplement industry is so unregulated. I find it difficult to navigate that world and say, where is the evidence for this? Like, having said that, I need my L-threonine. I take my little stress gummy, that Ollie stress gummy at night, and it takes the edge off. I definitely need that. But that came out of, you know, but how do you know which one is working? And then, you know, and there's a supplement. It seems like how when the iPhones came and there was an app for everything, now it has become a supplement for everything.
Well, even my kids, you know, my kids are on social media and they'll, you know, they know my work and what I do, but they'll say, oh, I saw this on TikTok. Can we buy this? And I'm like, no, you know, here's why, or here, you know, I have a supplement for that from a company that I know that I can trust. Or I'll say, well, you know, that's a Band-Aid. Let's look at why you want to take that and dive in that way. So for us, again, because we're doing all this comprehensive testing, a lot of the things that we're recommending, we are seeing objectively, as opposed to saying subjectively, you read this article, this supplement does XYZ for you. And whether it's treating a symptom that you feel like you have, or it's a preventative thing, you know, everybody should be on this because it's going to change your life, right? Well, I prefer to go as much as we can the objective route. So again, like if we're talking about an adrenal supplement, well, you can read an article about, do you have adrenal fatigue? And yes, I have all these things. And here's a supplement you can take to help your adrenal fatigue. Well, it's not going to harm you necessarily, but how do you know if that's what you need or not? Because you don't know what level, you know, what level your adrenals are in. Are we super high cortisol and we need things that are going to lower it? Or are we really low and we need things that are going to be more stimulating, right? So, and then I kind of feel like no matter what diet people have, and yes, our goal is, can we eat a healthier diet? There are things like vitamin D that we just don't get enough of, right? So, I mean, that's, and objectively, how much do you need? You know, you're not going to do too much harm if you're taking 1,000 or 2,000 a day, but sometimes that's not enough. And, you know, so objectively we're measuring and we're supplementing and then we're retesting to see where we are. So vitamin D, I think omegas, you know, unless you're eating a can of sardines every day, there's not enough fish in our environment. And then you have to decide, is it the right fish? You know, even if we, you know, you go out to dinner and you order salmon, it's probably a healthier choice than some other things, but depending on where that came from, farm or fresh, it's really hard to control from a dietary perspective. Are we getting enough omegas? So that's definitely one that I tend to supplement. And then probiotics, again, we're too clean, especially if we're in an environment of healthcare. We got to have hand sanitizers everywhere. And, you know, schools and stuff like that have all this hand sanitizer. So we're killing off our good bacteria and we've got chlorine in our water. And, you know, so our bacteria, because I do a lot of stool testing, I see it all the time. We're very deficient. And so, you know, probiotics to me is another kind of vital supplement that we just aren't going to get unless we're out there eating dirt, you know, we aren't going to do really. So, you know, you can have the basics, right? Just based on, you know, my experience in testing. I mean, it's like everybody's deficient in these things. And then the other supplements come through, you know, again, if we have somebody on a stool test that we have a lot of, the term is dysbiosis. So we have bacteria that shouldn't be there. We have, you know, overgrowth of candida or something like that. Then there are some supplements we can use for a short period of time to rebalance that. We don't want to go into, you know, full blown antibiotics and kill off everything. And then we're messing with it. So our supplement regimen is very individualized based on what that testing is.
Very interesting. Actually, you know, that makes a lot of sense because you're testing and therefore you know what they need and then you're tailoring the supplement according to what they need. That makes sense. So another controversial but very popular topic is IV vitamin therapies. It has exploded. You're the founder of the Clemson IV Bar. So can you tell me what specific benefits have you observed in your patients? who have incorporated IV vitamin therapy and when should I even think about it? Should all of us go walk into a IV bar and get some vitamins? Like, how do you decide that?
Again, it's kind of tailored to what are we trying to achieve? So if somebody calls in and says, I want to come get an IV. Well, our first thing is what are you hoping to achieve or treat or whatever, you know? So depending on the situation, for instance, immune system support, you know, somebody's feeling like they're getting a cold, you know, GI symptoms, whatever, like, you know, IV support is very helpful in that sense, in terms of the immune system. We can do, you know, vitamin C, we can do glutathione, really big boosts, like vitamin C, you know, typically over the counter are somewhere between 500 and 1,000 milligrams. And, you know, some people take that once a day, three times a day, that sort of stuff. But it can be, it's very acidic. So it can be stomach upsetting if you get up into higher doses. And, you know, 5 grams, which would be like 5 times 1,000 milligram or even higher, is what we really need if we're trying to fight off infection or something like that. And then in the case of like cancer support, not treatment, we don't treat cancer, but we can support the body's immune system. There's a lot of studies, particularly for prostate and breast cancer, for using high dose vitamin C to help support that. And so those are going up into 50 grams and higher. And it's just, it would be impossible to get that through your gut from an absorption or just a stomach upset type exposure. So again, depending on the patient and what we're trying to achieve, you know, there are things that you can put into an IV that are either higher dosing or that you wouldn't be able to get through just taking something orally. Glutathione is another one that's really good for the immune system. So you can treat that from a treatment perspective, where we're reactive and saying, hey, I'm sick and I need something. There's proactive. So I travel a lot. I go to a lot of conferences for speaking. And so I'm on the plane. I'm in, you know, you've been to conferences, you're in a hotel room and you're in a, you know, 300 people in one room kind of thing. So although I hope my immune system is great, I'll often do an IV before leaving just to kind of boost and support my immune system. I don't have a study, you know, that tells me that that works or doesn't work, but it makes me feel like, you know, my body's kind of keeping it up from that perspective. Glutathione is very detoxing. So they're, you know, again, when we travel, we tend to probably get exposed to more things. I was reading this article about, you know, just the radiation in an airplane and what we're exposed to up there. And so, you know, getting some glutathione before and after flights and things like that can help to kind of detox and help with some of that jet lag that people experience, not just from a time crunch, but from a, you know, just exposure perspective. So again, you know, that's all subjective. There's no measurement from that. And then like even in the aesthetics world, there are studies that show if you do regular vitamin C and glutathione, that those are all things that are going to help support your skin and improve, you know, anti-aging and wrinkle replacement or restoration, you know, that kind of stuff. So again, it just depends on what our goals are and what we're trying to achieve.
Interesting. So, you know, on your website, there are several testimonials from patients who have said that your wellness programs has changed their lives, etc. So can you share some stories where conventional medicine has failed them and, you know, give us some positive stories here?
I think Penny's on there, her story, but Penny comes to mind, and she's in her 70s now, but she was 68, I think, when we saw her for the first time. And I use her example a lot because, you know, there's this theory it's not a theory, but in business, you own your own business or your private business entity and you need to market, right? And to me, I hate that word because I'm not in sales. I'm not in marketing. I am in letting people know that there's another way out there, right? And if you don't know what we do and you don't know how to find us, then we can't help you. And Penny comes to mind because she literally lives in town. She's probably walking distance from our office, and she didn't know we existed. And she was suffering. She had something called myasthenia gravis, which is a pretty debilitating disease, autoimmune disease. And neurologically, she was just declining. She was getting to the point where she couldn't hold her head up. She was a professor here at Clemson. She's retired, but, you know, very studious, always wanting to read and be on her computer and stuff. And she was just, you know, her eyes weren't working. Her just musculature was not great. And she had a heart attack but her heart attack was not your typical, you know, what people come to see you, your typical, you know, plaque blockage. It was more, it was almost more just the muscles quit pumping blood, you know, pumping oxygen. And so this fatigue, if you want to call it, of her whole system. But in the traditional sense, she gets put on all the statins and the blood thinners, and then she's on, you know, whatever neurological medication and steroids and all this sort of stuff. So she's on like 8 or 9 different medications, just declining. She had just hired a nurse, I think it was a nurse or a CMA or somebody, to come to her house every day for assistance, and literally saying, I just want somebody to come make sure that I woke up the next day. I mean, she was really to that point where she was scared, and, you know, she's asking for help. She's going to all of her multiple, you know, specialists or neurologists, whatever. What do I do? Like, what's the next step? And they really started just talking to her about like what to expect when you're going to die. You know, she was not quite hospice yet, but that was where they were. So, she happened to, you know, be walking with her assistant to the mailbox to get the mail, and her neighbor came by, and her neighbor was a patient of ours. And her neighbor, you know, hadn't seen her in a long time, didn't quite realize, you know, they weren't super friendly, but didn't realize how severe she had gotten. And she said, you know, have you ever seen Dr. Duffy? And she didn't know anything about me, but she went to our website. She called, you know, she literally like called the next Monday. I was in by that week, and we got started. And interestingly, I tease her about it now, because we can joke about it, but she almost quit. You know, she started, she saw what we were doing. We did some testing, and I explained to her all the things and the whole thing I went through. But it was a lot of work for her, you know, to go through the process of taking the supplements and changing her diet and things like that. And she almost quit. And I was on the phone with her, and I said, even if it's baby steps, like, you have no other choice. And now looking back on, I mean, she just thanks me all the time, because, you know, in 6 months, she went from 9 medications to 3. Now she only takes her thyroid medication and her hormone replacement that I have her on. And really, again, you go through that process of what was stressing out her system. And when we started to take those stressors away, we addressed her gut. We replaced, you know, nutrients that were missing. We supported her body to detox, you know, a lot of chemicals that were going through with all this medication that she's been on. And she got a new lease on life. I mean, she's out there running around. She's got 2 grandkids. And at that time, she had a 2-year-old grandson that lived in Thailand, and she had never met him because she couldn't travel there to see them. They've since moved back here to Virginia. So she's back and forth with them all the time. They come to her, she goes there. And I just think if she didn't know we existed, then she wouldn't be here with us. So to me, it's not just about you need to feel better. I mean, we are saving lives, not just changing lives. And that, you know, that's one situation. We've got an 18-year-old who came in again on 9-10 medications, anti-anxiety. She had, and I, you know, I'm not judging by any means, but she had Implanon, which is, you know, like a birth control implant, and then was also on birth control because she was having irregular periods. And it was just like this, you know, band-aid after band-aid after band-aid, you could see, you know, trying to address the stressors that she was under. Again, young people bounce back and respond. It's great to work with young people because their bodies are so resilient still. So in 6 months, she went from 9 medications to none. She's just taking supplements. She's off her birth control. She got the Implanon removed. Periods are regular again. She's back in school. You know, she's a college student, and she wasn't going to school. She took the semester off last year because she couldn't go to school because of the fatigue and the brain, you know, brain stuff and anxiety and things she was going through. So again, and our process is the same. Our system is, you know, people come in and they may have all these different things going on, but work on the gut, work on the deficiencies. You know, we go through the process and, you know, for that person, I mean, again, frustration of what's the next step? I'm already on 10 medications at 18 years old. And where do we go from here? You know,
Amy, we could go on talking for another 1 hour. I feel we have so much to cover, but I don't want to finish without asking 2 more questions. Number one, what's happening in Acapulco? What happens in your retreat, which is so transformative, and what is going on in there?
So really what I try to do, you know, I would go, before I started hosting my own retreats, I was going there for various events and things like that. And I was always like, I want to bring Acapulco back home. You know, what does it feel like to, why is this place such kind of a magical place? And I don't know if it's Acapulco or it's the home that we're in, but, you know, everything's taken care of there. We have a chef that makes, you know, we call it ingredients. We don't have products. There's nothing packaged. It's all, you know, fresh made stuff. We are very active. So I play tennis or we're walking, whatever. So, you know, we go there to live these pillars of life, right? So we're addressing our nutrition, we're addressing our stress management, we are moving. We have a lot of downtime. So I go to conferences, it's just like, you know, there's something pre-conference at 6:30 in the morning, they do a workout. I always want to be part of that. And then the conference starts at 8:00 and then you go till whatever. And then somebody has happy hour and then it's dinner and, you know, it's 11 p.m. and you do that 4 or 5 days in a row and like, it's exhausting and I love it, but you know, I don't want that in my event. I want downtime. You know, I want a place. And most people that come, they say, you know, I don't know the last time I've just sat, you know, and not like read a book or, you know, I don't want to blow up the schedule with stuff. It's like, you know, people will have, we have in-room massages or we have energy work or acupuncture. If I bring an acupuncturist, we'll have an occasion where we go on an outing or something like that. But so we really just live that experience of, you know, slowing down a little bit and food and moving.
Well, then my final question, if our listeners could take just one action today to improve their health based on their experience, what would you recommend?
Well, we talked a lot about food and, you know, when they say, what do I eat? What do I not eat? And I just think about it and look at it. Is this something that's going to fuel your system? Or is this something your body's going to have to take a minute to go, what is this? And is it going to cause some work, you know, extra work for your body to deal with? So the closer that we can get to nature, you know, your apple, your veggie, your protein choice, and stay away from the stuff that's taken, you know, multiple steps to get to where it goes, then that's you're one step ahead of the game and reducing some stress in your system for sure. And then move.
I agree with both of those. Well, Dr. Amy Duffy, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I have learned so much. Where can our listeners find you and learn more about your work at the Carolina Integrative Medical Center?
Yeah. So CarolinaIntegrativeMedicine.com is our website. So lots of stuff there, like you alluded to, you can find a lot there, and any social media. So you'll find us Carolina Integrative Medicine or Amy Duffy MD on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the places.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. To our listeners, if you've enjoyed this conversation, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Give us a rating. Share this episode with someone who might benefit from Dr. Duffy's insights. With that, good luck, everyone, and just take charge of your health and just don't sit down with discomfort. Thank you so much for listening. If you found us valuable, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast app. And also, please consider leaving us a rating or a review, as that helps others find the podcast too. I hope you have a great week ahead.